November 16th, 2015. The issue tonight that we are going to discuss is the question of end-of-life care. And does that mean that everything that can be done, does that mean does everything need to be done up to the very last minute? Or are there certain stages possibly beforehand? We'll discuss maybe the stage of a gosais, defined as when the dying process has begun, 3 days, let's say, before death, where no matter what intervention you give a person, it will die within 3 days. Does that change any of the halachos? And what about an earlier stage? We're going to see that Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe are going to be discussing a case of patients which have terminal illnesses, and they are suffering from a lot of pain, but they are not yet at gosais. They're not there at the very end with 3 days before they're going to die, but they definitely are going to die from this terminal illness. And the question is of taking a medicine, which all the medicine is going to do is not going to treat the illness. They've tried everything they can, but all it's going to do is extend the life of the patient and his suffering. What can be done or should be done in that case? Where does food and nutrition fit in? Where does a patient's autonomy fit in? So we're going to discuss some of these variables. We'll look at some primary sources and how the poskim. I'm going to try to lay out six different shitot amongst the poskim, how they dealt with the end-of-life care. So source one is a letter from the Stipler. After he passed away, they published some of his letters, and it states the following: Be'ikar yisod dekol ma she'ef she'el harichai ha'chola afilu eno el el'chai sha'a tzarech lasos. This idea that one has to do a full court press and one must do everything to treat the chole up to the very end, even for just chayisho, even for just short moments. Emet shegamani shamati biyuldatai mimer kazu. I remember when I was young, I also believed this, and that's what, you know, and that's what I was taught. Velo yadati imzu mibar samcha have. I don't know if this was from a bar hachi. Aval beenai davar zeh tzarich in gadol. But in truth, you know, when I got older and I reevaluated, this philosophy really needs to be looked at and examined closely. Vandera Rabba, and maybe even the opposite. Yesh lmo limnoa mizeh, and then we're going to see certain sources. We're going to, you know, see he's going to be quoting a case of the Ramah. You're going to see the cases where maybe one shouldn't be doing. He's saying Yem Beis Lechem Yehuda. He's based it on Sefer Chassidim. He's talking about a case She'ein Latein Melech Arich HaGesisa. He's talking about putting salt on the tongue of this dying patient, and that's not something that should be done to try to stimulate the patient and to prevent the neshama from leaving. So, not so simple that everything that can be done needs to be done up to the very last moment. Where does that idea come from that everything needs to be done? So we see in source 2, the Radvaz already quotes, it says that Lefi She'en Nafsho.
He's talking about everything needs to be done, even though it's a great cost and great pain, b'chulei.
We're going to talk about all, you know, how they deal with different issues. But there will be, we'll see some that say that, that like here, Lefi She'en Nafsho Shal Adam Kinyano. A person doesn't own his own neshama. It's a matana from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which we have to return, and he gave it to us, and he'll decide when that gets taken away, and we're not alabal bais on our bodies, on our neshama. And that's the source that in Adam Rishay Laharagas Atzmo. A person can't commit suicide. He doesn't have that autonomy. He doesn't have that decision, you know, because he's not the balabais. And that's also, he was explaining a halachic concept that ain adam rishay lahodos et atzmo. That's why a person can't in halacha self-incriminate himself, again, because that can cause himself to be, killed by Beis Din or given malchus by Beis Din. That's not permissible. He's not balabais on his body. I'm sorry, say again.
Right.
So I'm saying in source 2 is showing you. Right. So I'm going back in source 2. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. To the Havamina. Source 2 is the Havamina when one would have to. Why would one have to treat always? Because the person is not a Baal Bais over his neshama. It was given to him by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can take it back. And he has a Chiyav of Mishmartem Ma'od Minachsho Sechem. He had this. An Isser of Lo Samad Adam Reyecha. I have, because of that, Mrs. Sasei, Mrs. Lo Sasei, I have to, and loved ones have to treat me and extend my life to the very end as much as they can. And that would, that's the idea, of, you know. So, right.
No.
No, I can think he's the ain, because ain Rishai Laro get that smoke. He's not a Baal Bais, so he can't do any action which will hasten, and the opposite. He has to do everything he can to, I think that's how it's understood, to extend his life. That philosophy of why one would have to do that, because he's not the Baal Bais over his neshama. So the source 3 is another halachic source which also this philosophy is expounding this the philosophy that one has to do everything one can. We know this halacha of mishenafa olav mapola. So a wall falls down on a person and it's Shabbos. Safik chai, safik meis. And there's a lot of sveikos here. Safik husham, safik ein husham. A wall fell down. We don't even know if a person's there and needs to be rescued. Afilu imtim solomush husham, safik akum, safik yisrael. Mafachin lav, afal pishi eshbo kama sveikos. A wall fell down. A person might be there. We call in the bulldozers on Shabbos and we start removing the rubble to try to save a possible life. That's the halacha. And afilu matzoh merutzas, and even if we find him crushed, right? She'eno yochalichus elefi shah, and this person can only live a very short time, right? Mafachin ubodkin ad chotmo. We continue, right, until we reach his nose to see if he's alive. If he's dead, then we stop what we're doing. But you see, even this chayisha, and even this painful chayisha, this person is crushed, from this source 3, seems to be saying that a person has to be mechal Shabbos. So if you're going to be mechal Shabbos for this, then obviously, a person should do whatever he can, to extend his life, even not on Shabbos, always. Rabbi Bleich, source 4, just this sentiment that Rabbi Bleich is that Judaism believes that human life is of infinite value. So that means that if it's of infinite value, that means every part of life is also of infinite value, because any chelik of infinity is also infinity. Judaism regards human life as being of infinite and inestimable value. Not only is life in general of infinite value, but every moment of life is of inestimable value as well. The quality of life which is preserved is just never a factor to be taken into consideration. So
if every moment is counted, what about pikuach nefesh? Would that mean that everything that you do for pikuach nefesh, it allows you to lengthen the time that a person lives?
I'm not sure of the question.
I'm saying, if you do everything to enable a person to continue living,
correct,
is that considered an act of pikuach nefesh?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. On Shabbos, it's an act of bikuach nefesh, and do whatever you can to extend this patient's life. All right. So another source 5 is also showing you that even this life, which has yisurim in it, it's a schus to be extended. Life is a schus to be extended in and of itself, even if it's full of yisurim. And
they give the it's pretty amazing.
Okay, so they give the example of a sota who drank, and so we say there's not every sota who drinks and even was guilty dies right away, because there might be certain zchuyot that the sota has that will allow her to live longer. Kamo shehaya la zchut talmud torah afal pi she'ena mutzuva al talmud torah hayizu tolala it suspends the death right away. Ve'enu meisa l'shata ella nimoket v'holechet v'cholon kvedim be'an aleha ad shetamat achashana or shnatayim or shalosh. She can live another 3 years, but with yisurim lefi zchuta, and that's a zchut for her to live that time, even though v'imeta v'vayid betem v'napilat eivarin. So it eventually catches up with her, and it's not a life of, you know, it's a life of suffering, but that's a zchut, and that was the protection of the zchut of Talmud Torah. So again, all these sources that we were mentioning, 2 through 5, are pointing to, I think, trying to maybe this idea of what the cycle said that he had when he was younger, that what Judaism believes, that we must do everything to preserve life up until the very, very end. However, let's look at some other sources. Source 6 is the Ramah, and quotes the case. Kagon mishu gosei zman aruch. We're talking about a person now. Is this going to be people? We're going to define this case. We'll see what the, you know, this category of a goseis man arach. But he's somehow a person who's a regular goseis is someone who died. We die, and we said no matter what intervention we gave them within 3 days. This is a goseis. No, right. It's not. Again, there are.
Like, do tshuva one day before you die.
Correct. Now, there are, it's up to the, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, don't ask me, it's up to, you know, ask the doctors. Are doctors so, you know, definitive? They're hesitant to say, no matter what we do, the person's going to die within 3 days. Rav Moshe said, ask the Chevra Kadisha from 100 years ago. They had a lot of experience hanging around these type of people, and they had that chush of being able to say, it's described in Rama somewhere of this death rattle in the chest of a type of breathing. We all know there's types of, you know, chain stroke breathing. There's a type of breathing where you go very slowly and then go, and then start breathing fast, and then start breathing very slowly, is a very terminal pattern of breathing, and it means that, you know, death is soon coming. So those are some of the signs. Or gosei zman arach, are we talking about something maybe zman arach, meaning maybe something even a little further removed from more than 3 days from death, you know, but some sort of process is going on where the person is eventually going to die, maybe from this illness. So what are you allowed to do for this person, according to the Ramah? So, im yesham davar shagorim ikuv yitzias hanefesh, there is something there that is preventing the neshama from leaving. Kagon, he gives two examples. Sheish somach la'oso bayit kol dofek, kagon chotev eitzim. Next to this house where this goseis neshama is trying to leave, there's a wood chopper banging and making a lot of noise. There's a jackhammer going outside, and that's preventing, you know, the neshama from leaving, you know, peacefully. And that loud noise, that stimulus, is pushing the neshama back into the body, you're preventing it from leaving. Or sheyesh melech alushono, there's this, you know, someone put salt on the tongue. And that's a very, I guess, bitter sensation, and that's a very stimulating sensation, and it's also trying to keep the patient awake, you know, or preventing him from dying. Ve'elu ma'akvin yitzias hanefesh, these things are preventing the neshama from leaving. Mutar lahasiru misham, you can remove them. You can tell the wood chopper to stop chopping. You can remove the salt. Ein b'zeh ma'isa klal. This is not an action. Ela shemesir hamoneya. This is rather viewed as removing an obstacle.
Very, very different things. Really.
Correct. Go.
Okay. I mean, one is something that's not connected as a person.
Correct.
Meisir melech is
right. So meisir melech is a much harder thing to say that it's not a meisir because you actually right. So one is like Sheva Taisa stopping the person. I would agree. Meisir seems more like, but he's not saying this. Somehow it's not viewed as a meisir ritzich. It's not some sort of an action. It's somehow it's removing and even a gram ritzich. He's not saying, because that would be asur midor raisa.
Right, extrapolate this to an infusion.
Okay, we will. We'll talk. We'll talk about how we're going to bring it up to. We're talking it. So where did the Ramah get it from? I didn't put on the list, but possibly what we say on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, We know that case of Hananya ben Trajon, where they were able to remove the wool, where all the wool was doing was was prolonging that death, and it was I think all these things. They're not treating the illness, right? The wool is not treating any illness, right? I don't think the wood chopping is treating an illness. I don't think the salt on the tongue is that it's just treating any illness. So those things are just preventing, the neshama, from leaving. So I think that's...
Why isn't it looked at as a good thing? Because it's
excellent.
Keeping them alive.
Excellent. So why don't we bring, and we'll say, why don't we bring a whole marching band in, and that's our thought, exactly right. But you'll see, the Beis Nachum Yehuda, the Sefer Chassidim, saying, and also, the Ramah himself, in the Darkei Moshe, said that that's not, the reason why we're allowed to move it, because we shouldn't have done it in the first place. And we'll have to discuss why we shouldn't be doing that. And that's why the stipler was saying that halacha seems to be pointing exactly against what this philosophy that we should do everything we should can till the very end. Excellent. Another source 7. Ahu Yoma, it was the day Dinach Nafshe de Rebbe. Rebbe died. Rebbe Yonasi, the day that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi died. So Gazru Abanan Tanisa Uvoi Rachmim. They declared a fast. And they were davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they said, "Kol man da'amar nach nafshi de Rebbe, yatkor b'charev." Anybody that tells us that Rebbe died is going to be pierced with a sword. Salika amsa de Rebbe le'igra. The handmaiden of Rebbe went up to the roof. And Amra, and she said, "El yonim mevakshim es Rebbe, v'tachton mevakshim es Rebbe." The heavens want Rebbe. The chachamim down below want Rebbe. So she offers a tefillah. She says, "Yehi ratzon sheyachufu tachtonim al yonim." We should win and let Rebbe live. Let Rebbe live. However, time went on, and she saw kaven the chazi kama zimnin the all the beis akise. He saw how Rebbe was just running to the bathroom and having to go to the bathroom. V'chalef tefillin, and he's removing his tefillin. Umanach luhu ukemitztayer. He's in pain. He's uncomfortable. There's yisurim going on. So she finally said, and the tefillahs weren't helping. This is all we're doing is prolonging this this tsar. So what did she say? Yehi ratzon shekufu al yonim al tachtonim. She offered a prayer that the ones that the heavens should be able to take Rebbe. The lohavi shtaki rabbanan mile miboy rachme. However, the chachamim didn't stop davening. So what did she do? Shakla kuza shadaya meigra laara. She threw down a pottery vase onto the ground. It shattered. It made a very loud noise. Ishtiku mirachmim. They got startled and they stopped davening for a second. V'nach nafshei de Rebbe. And then Rebbe was able to be ole l'shamayim. So you see here, somehow it seems like the neshama wants to leave, and what's holding him back are these tefillot. And Amsa the Rebbe was able to stop that tefillot. And we see here the Gemara doesn't criticize Amsa the Rebbe, and in other places the Gemara speaks highly of what we can learn from the Amsa the Rebbe. So
a source criticize the people who are praying to keep him alive.
And that's why we'll see people will have different shitot, and someone will see that the Tzitz Eliezer, downplay, is gonna put much more heavier emphasis on being able to be Mechal Shabbos, and that everything must be done, and downplay this case of Amsa the Rebbe. Next key source 8, we also see this in Ki Asa Rav Dimi Amma, Rav Dimi Amma. When Rav Dimi came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he made the following statement: Kol she'ein mevaker chole. If it's not kol she, I skipped down to the underlined. I apologize. Because it's kol she'ein mevaker chole. If you don't do biker cholim, that's a bad thing. One should be mevaker cholim, because if you didn't do biker cholim, you're not going to have the chance to ein mevaker shlev rachamim. You're not going to have a chance to dive into a kadosh baruch hu lo sheyichlev v'lo sheyamus. You're not going to have a chance to dive into a kadosh baruch hu that he should, in most cases that the patient should live. But Rav Dimi is saying that you're also missing out on the opportunity if you saw the patient and had so much suffering and you thought that there was nothing that can be done to help the patient, then it seems that Rav Dimi is saying that you should offer a tefillah even to stop the suffering, and the patient should die.
Is he saying that you make that your tefillah, or you're asking for rachamim, whichever way it is?
Right, right.
So don't you say, please let the guy die?
Right. So there, again, it's saying, look at the Ran. Nira be'enai da'chama. Ha'amim should sarach levakeish rachamim ala cholesh sheyamus. He seems to be saying that you actually daven for the patient to die. Most Rabbanim now, it says that's a very... First of all, they say that shouldn't be done by family members who have maybe different intentions, Yerusha things. I have to constantly come to, it's a tircha. But a neutral third party who's looking at this objectively, and even then, they say, to Sheyamas, they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, alleviate the suffering, however... take it from there. But the Ran brings down that there are times that a person should daven, that the patient should die. Kagon shemastara chola b'chelav harbe v'yif shalo sheyichya, and the person, there's no more treatments. The person's going to die and he's suffering. And then he brings that case of Amsa the Rebbe. So again, according to this source, if you're davening for the patient to die, it doesn't make sense that at the same time, on that, one would be required to do everything to keep that very same patient, alive. So these are sources that would mitigate against that full court press up to the very end. Okay, so let's start in source 10. Bring it down. What is one allowed to do or not? So what one is not allowed to do, and we said, is to do anything active to shorten the patient's life. That one can't do, and that's a Maisa Ritzicha. Hagoseis harayu kuchai l'chol davar. Even though this patient is entering the death process and is going to die within 3 days and is deathly ill and is terminally ill, you're not allowed to do anything actively that would shorten this patient's life, even by a moment. So much so that and this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, ein ma'atz min es einov. You can't even close the eyes of a goseis. Why? Because on halgeya bo mezizo harei shochiv damin. You're almost like, it's equated to almost like killing the person. Rabbi Meir haya moshlo l'neshaya mataftek. It's like a flickering candle. Kevin shenagaba adam miad kibaho. If you stress him at all, even this little bit, that can cause the candle to go out and the shamat to leave. Kach kolam ma'atzim es einai hagoseis ma'alan alav ki iluhu shamat et nishmato. So you can't. We'll try to bring things to the to currently. So that means that if a patient's on a ventilator and needs that ventilator, to breathe, you're not able to pull the plug. You can't stop that step, because that would be an active act which shortens the patient's life.
If the patient is alive on the ventilator.
Correct, absolutely. Okay.
I'm sorry.
If your person is, again, Tzitz Eliezer wants to say that that was a case, it's a very, we'll see, very hard read, but of course, that a person, you're not ventilating a corpse. I mean, if the patient doesn't have a pulse and the patient's dead, you're able to stop the ventilator.
How is it so different from removing salt?
How is it so different from moving salt? Right. So we talk about when removing salt, the people say, if you're talking about the touching, they say that we're removing the salt, you have to do it in such a way that you don't touch the patient. So it's actually in a way that just when the patient's yawning and very carefully removing. But you were asking a much more deeper question. Go.
The effect is the same.
Okay.
So does it matter what the means was?
Right. So I think maybe going back to what I was trying to say before, that it's the, that one is a medical treatment, and then oxygen is needed to treat this patient, and we're keeping the patient alive. Well, salt is like the wool. It's just a loud noise. It's a noxious stimulant. So does that mean every time a patient who's dying, should I do a sternal rub and give them, to try to keep the patient alive? That's not medical treatments. That's not something that should be done.
End of the line, because in Shomek Ishmato, as opposed to Shofech Domin.
Correct. Okay, again, I think the halacha is that if one did kill, shorten the life of a goseis, he did a Maisa Ritzicha, but he's not Chayiv Misa. I think that's, I think it's... Right, correct. Okay, so, next one. But it's Tzitz Eliezer. So this is going to be our first position. I'm going to call him the most Machmir. What I mean by Machmir is he's going to give... he's going to give you the least amount of room to remove or withdraw or to not do a full court press. And again, as we mentioned, he's going to focus on those earlier sources like Shabbos, like Sota, that says even a life of suffering, that, you know, we do everything, this person is crushed, or Sota, we do everything we can to keep this patient alive, even for a very short time. Chola ze shechayav enan chayim v'shoel et nafsho lamut mirov hayisurim. Person saying, I don't want to live anymore, I have so much pain. Ratzaloma kishe yikre sheyit kuv alav alma. Okay, let me just do what I underlined. Haim lo natira. Isn't this person right? Isn't it permissible lechalel alav et haShabbat to be mechal Shabbos for this person, even though he's suffering a lot and has only a very short time to live? B'chol mashenochal. Don't we do everything we can on Shabbos? Kedei lashivo letchia lechay hamarim shelo, to return him even to this suffering state. V'lo afilu kama shod, even just for a few hours. Or afilu pachos misa, even for less than this. We are mechal Shabbos even for this short time, even for this suffering patient. And again, I underlined the sota sheish lo zchut tam Torah. And again, that was considered a zchut even to live with yisurim. So therefore, source 12, that Tzitz Eliezer holds, and this is the most extreme position, right? The Mikolshkein, right? You know that if you're able to do this on Shabbos, so surely sheish chiyuv lasas ma'amtzim ma'amatzim b'chol latzal nefesh hagoses b'derech harefuah. We have to do everything one can b'chol midi de'efshar v'lo gam lechay shua bavad. One has to do whatever one can to save up to the very last moment. Again, he says it in another tshuva in 13. Sheish chiyuv lasas ma'amatzim latzalat goses b'chol midi de'efshar. Do whatever you can to keep the patient.
What? What do you mean by
b'chol? Compared to Shabbat. If Shabbat
you can't do this?
No, we're saying if on Shabbat, then the source before, if you can do it on Shabbat, so surely you should do it. So to bring it again to, I think, the current days, current therapy, so I think that would mean even if a patient, again, is the goses, even if the patient is in within the last 3 days of life, that you should still, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, intubate the patient, put the patient on dialysis, start what they call inotropes. Those are medications like dopamine and norepinephrine, things that can make the heart beat stronger and constrict the arteries and raise the blood pressure. Everything you can to give this patient even a little bit more of living, that's what should be done. Oh, so what does he do? 14. So it's working. Let's turn the page. What does he do with the Ran? So he says the Ran, he wants to say, look, the Ran, you had Amsa the Rebbe versus all the Chachamim. Who are you going to paskin like? You're going to paskin like Amsa the Rebbe, or are you going to paskin like the Chachamim? Chachamim, you know, continued davening, and midlo huzkor midvarav lo b'tor u'beis Yosef lo b'shulchan aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote, none of that doesn't quote the Shita of the Ran, that you're able to at some point daven that the chole should die, and therefore we were even thinking, well, if the chole is daven, the chole should die, you know, that must mean that you're not going to try to do things to keep the chole alive. You're not going to do both at once with the right hand, you know, daven that they're going to die, and the left hand, you know, continue to treat. Excellent. That's what's going to be Rabbi Bleich's next the argument, how he's going to, that's number two, and how he's going to argue on the Tzitz Eliezer. But that was the Tzitz Eliezer's patient, the most strict. Don't ever daven for a patient to die, and do everything you can aggressively to the very end. Number two, Rabbi Bleich. Right. Maybe. I don't know the halachas of a ghost. You know, are we saying that even the? I know they said that it's, you're able to hold on to the hand of a ghost at the end to not for him to be. And afraid, or not to be feel like he's alone. So that much touching, one I think is allowed to do. But I don't think they'll say if you reach the point where you're not taking, you know, treating blood pressures, and you're not, then you know, or you're not treating any laboratory values, then don't take morning blood draws. Don't even take the pressure or blood pressure cuff, you know, on the arm. You know, that's not...
That stuff is connected. I mean, they're adding the drugs through an IV that's probably there anyway. They're not started to punch holes in the guy.
Right. No, I was talking about morning blood draws when you want to check potassium levels.
And you take it from the line.
Not always. No. I think they said because it could be contaminated from the fluids, and usually stick a patient a second time. Each time, yeah. Okay, so that was position one. Let's move on to position two. So Rabbi Bleich argues on the Tetz Eliezer in two ways. One, he says that there will be a time, maybe from looking at the Ramah, that a person is maybe allowed to not initiate new treatment. And that is when the patient is 3 days before the patient's died. Once you hit the state of gesisa, once the death process has started, and only then, right, then a person doesn't have to initiate, new therapy. But any time before that, even if the patient's suffering from a terminal illness and has a lot of suffering, but the death process hasn't started, he's just as aggressive as the Tetz Eliezer, and all those things have to be done. You have to, intubate the patient and dialyze the patient, put the patient on a church, anything you can do, it should be done. Once you think that the state of gesisa is, then we say we don't have to start any new treatment. The second place he's going to argue is where Yitz was mentioning, is that he says, just because, he differentiates and says, just because I have a chiyuv to treat the patient, let's say at that earlier stage, where it's a terminal illness and the patient's in a lot of pain, but not yet in a state of gesisa, so I'm still doing aggressively treating the patient, there is nothing wrong with davening to Hashem to be relieved of that obligation, in his words. So let's look at source 15. This is from his Sefer Judaism and Healing. This is the first one, page 178. Elimination of pain, first of all, I say, is certainly a legitimate and laudable goal. It can be learned from V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. They should treat pain. However, yet when the dual goals of avoidance of pain and preservation of a life come into conflict, he's talking about, again, more than 3 days before. Let's say it's a month or two or 3 months before, and the patient is very, very uncomfortable. Still, however, Judaism recognized the paramount value and sanctity of life, and accordingly assigns priority to preservation of life, and that wins out. And one has to be very aggressive at that stage, of a patient's illness. It cannot be overemphasized that even the earlier cited permissive authority sanctions actions of omission only when the patient is in a state of gesisa. So again, the only time where you can maybe passively not initiate therapy is only when you're in a state of gesisa. Anything earlier, we have to treat very aggressively. At any earlier stage, withholding of treatment is tantamount to euthanasia. Even passive is not allowed. And that only distinction that passive is allowed only happens 3 days before the patient's going to die. But anything short of that, meaning anything longer, further away from death, even passively, you're not, you can't just say, oh, I'm just sitting on Sheva Tassa, and no, you have the chiyuv of Los Hamad Adam Reecha, and you have to treat the patient. And then, this is the davening part. Although man must persist in his efforts for prolonged life, he may nevertheless express human needs and concerns through the medium of prayer. There is no contradiction whatsoever between acting upon an existing obligation and pleading to be relieved of further responsibility. So again, according to Rabbi Bleich, and this would be two, until the moment that gesisa, we have to be just as aggressive as the Tetz Eliezer. But once the state, the Tetz Eliezer said, even during the state of gesisa, the bag of that medicine called an inotrope of dopamine or norepinephrine runs out, we have to hang a second one, right? So Rabbi Bleich says, okay, once that you're in the state of gesisa, then we don't have to, you can't stop it, right? We're not going to, stop. But once it runs out, we don't have to add passively, we're allowed to then not add when they're in a state of gesisa. Okay, that's number two. Number three and four, and these are what I'm told more mainstream positions, and middle of the road positions, are the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Moshe Feinstein. So they were dealing with that question of, let's say you're not yet in the state of gesisa, but a person is diagnosed with a terminal illness, has been treated, has gotten the chemotherapy, or second round of chemo, whatever they have, and now there's nothing more that the doctors know to give. And the patient is eventually going to die of this disease. And The patient now is in a, even though we're treating their pain, there's certain types of pain that are very hard to treat. There's certain bone pains and neuropathic pains when the things are pressing on nerves, and the patient's very, very uncomfortable. But I can give this patient a medicine, something that can maybe extend the life of this patient for a few weeks, a month, 2 months, something, a short time. I can extend the life, but it's not treating the illness. I can't, but I can give something, and all it's doing now is extending this life of pain, right? So what's the halacha? Do I have to take, you know, do I have to take that medicine, or am I allowed to say I don't want that medicine? So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, we explain to the patient and say, and he was sensitive to the Gemara and Sota, that Yisurim in this life will help a person in the next life. And we say that if you're able to, or want to, you can, you know, take that medicine and suffer more Yisurim. That's okay. But if you don't want to, patient choice, if he's not on that level and it's just, you know, doesn't want to, then he's allowed, and that's what the Rama was talking about, a case there where the patient was suffering so much and it was a terminal illness, and that you're able to start removing the salt and the wood chopper, and doesn't have to be treated. So Rabim, source 16, mitlabtim b'sheila zu shel tipul b'chol agoses. Yesh sovrim, de keshem shemachal on Shabbos avor chayisha, kach hayavim lahachriach et hachola al zeh, ki hu eino ba'alam al atzmo, levater af al rega achat. Those were, that's the Tzitz Eliezer, and that's how you have to be very, very aggressive. Some people have that mindset. Ach mistaber, she'im hachol sovel mekeivim v'yisurim gdolim. He's in a lot of pain. Oh, afilu sovel nefesh chazak ma'od. Even emotional pain. Very interesting. He was very sensitive to that. So I think, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orach is saying, what's my opinion? Chushbani she'ochel v'chamtsan l'neshima chayavim liten lo gam neged ritzono. You have to give oxygen, food and nutrition. That has to be given. In other tshuvas, he talks about this basic and routine treatments. Those need to be continued. Aval muta l'himana mitrufot hagoremat sevel l'chole im hachole dereshetzeh. If he wants to, he doesn't need to take this medicine that all it's going to do is extend, prolong his suffering. Ulam im hachole yirshamayim. But if you're on the level of yirshamayim, below nitrafa daito ratzui mod lazbir lo, explain to him, sheyafa sha achas b'tshuva b'olam hazeh mekoch ha'el ha'ba. Life is precious, and even life of Yisurim has value. And but one is not obligated to do that. But it's laudable if one would take that route. So he makes a distinction between like medicines, medical treatment, which one does not have to take, and other things that are basic and routine, that like oxygen and nourishment that one has to. They explain also from Shlomo Zalman that he was saying, like, if a patient for years and years and years has been diabetic and getting insulin, or for years and years and years had end-stage renal disease and has been on dialysis 3 times a week, so those treatments for that patient are part of his basic and routine, and those can't be stopped. But let's say a person comes in with progression of his terminal illness, and we're treating him, and we try dialysis once or twice, or insulin, his sugars are high, you know, once or twice. But again, his disease is progressing, then that's not, that then it's considered a medical intervention, which the patient has the choice not to want to continue.
You preface it by saying that this was somebody who will die eventually, but not a ghost, but he seems to say there is a cholagosis.
Right, vishutuba b'cholagosis, right. So the reason why, again, that was in this one, you'll see it more in Rav Moshe, but that's how I think I read this tshuva, I read one or two tshuvas of Shlomo Zalman, but I think that's how they're explaining that he is sensitive to the Yisurim, even again, but if it has to be a terminal, you know, like the terminal illness.
Two sides of what he's talking about. First of all, he's talking about what the choleh can say.
Right, correct.
That's how he's talking about. He's talking about the other side where food nutrition. Caregivers must
Must give that. Right, correct. That's what I said. So he has a choice. Right, so he had a right, so he has a choice to say, I don't want additional medical therapy just to prolong my life when I'm in pain. But he does not have the right to refuse basic and routine of like food and nourishment.
Correct. He's saying not to refuse it.
He's not allowed to refuse it.
He's not talking about the refusal. He's talking that you have to give it to him.
You have to give it to him. Right, right, right. I'm putting it the same. Right, I'm putting it, you know, if he has to, okay.
The question comes, if a person who's in unconscious in a coma.
You have to give it to him. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying you have to give it.
You have to give what?
You have to give oxygen and nutrition.
Yeah, but what about before?
What?
The person's in a coma, whatever, everything.
Right, so he said, that, so very important. So then it was, this. So since Shlomo Zalman gave the autonomy up to the patient, and that's why it's important to have a discussion with a healthcare proxy, let your philosophy and desires be known, and that should be either if he said it before he became unconscious, or he let someone know that this was his desires, so then the Rav would take that in, and if the Rav is paskening along the shita of our Shlomo Zalman, then he would say, "You do not. I don't have to give this medical treatment to just to prolong your suffering."
Being unconscious, I suspect, and I do not know for sure, but that removes the pain and suffering aspect.
Okay, right, quite right. So, excellent, excellent point. I didn't go into this, and I didn't make this a seventh shita. But it was almost like, I'm told, and I didn't see it inside, that Rav Elyashiv had this scenario, that this is almost like saying, is that when the patient is suffering, and maybe, I guess on their way, then he had the right to refuse this medical treatment. Once they progressed so much that they became unconscious, and this heter of suffering maybe went away, and again, I'm not sure, you know, and I don't think the medical community is
a continuum. It's not an off switch, and there's certainly a position where you're not able to participate in your decisions, but you correct. Still
could feel. Right, so that's what I'm saying. You're saying, is there the necessary difference? You know, so I'm saying it's quite possible that you're still suffering even when unconscious. But Rav Eshel wanted to say, if someone came up with that havami that the person is not, somehow you can prove that person is not suffering at that point, he would almost then flip back and say, now you have to treat the patient. Well, Shlomo Zalman and others, I think the more mainstream person says, if you did it further away from death and you were allowed to refuse the treatment, then when you're closer to the death process, you won't have to.
Get philosophical, but yeah. Since we don't know what he's feeling or not feeling when he's unconscious, we don't know what he's feeling and he's not feeling after he's dead.
Right.
So if he continues pain and suffering after he's dead, theoretically, and whatever is his afterlife.
Okay.
So what am I changing by removing or prolonging or extending? As far as the pain and suffering is concerned, it's irrelevant.
I didn't understand the question.
It's too deep for us.
Let's worry about people who are in this
room. I don't know.
Okay, we'll talk. Let's talk about it afterwards. Let's talk. You'll explain. Okay, I'll be here afterwards. Okay.
For one clarification, the treatment. Shlomo Zalman made no distinction between what's been started already and not yet been started. That made no difference according to this tumor.
What's been started? No, I think if it's been, I still won't say. You still can't
You can't. Antibiotics, the next dose.
So I think he quotes with antibiotics is more like routine and basic. Yeah. So I think he puts that in with the food and with the food and the nutrition and antibiotics. I think he's treating, but you wouldn't again have to start that if the bag ran out. Again, also you wouldn't have to start that other end, or you don't have to start him on dialysis. You don't have to
give things like that.
Correct. All correct. Okay. The Rav Moshe looked at that case of the Rama and said the following: why am I allowed to, stop doing certain things? And it must be, he went to say, that the Rama is talking, it's an example. Example of what? An example of a case, a gosais, he wants to posit, and he's basing himself on the, I think this is what the Sefer Hasidim and the Beit Lechem Yehuda said, that in the state of gesisa, when it is painful for the neshama to leave the body, that is a painful process. And for you to make noise and kata, do anything to force to prolong that is prolonging a painful process of that patient. So Rav Moshe said that's an example. Since we see that the person has this, a terminal illness, and you're not allowed to do anything that's prolonging this painful process of the ghosties, because that's a painful process. So too, I'm going to say other painful processes when a person has a terminal illness, one does not have to treat. Nesinas trufa lechole, source 17. She'i efshar lerapoto lahakel yisurav. Giving a patient medicine which is not treating, again, the underlying disease, rak la'richat chayav, but it can just extend the person's life, but it's not going to cure the cancer. Shim ein yodin sharofim shum refua. We've already tried and tried again and tried again, you know, to try to treat the illness. Lo rak lufuato ela af lo lahaka lusurim, and we've maxed out. We've called in palliative services, and they put them on certain, you know, fentanyl patches, narcotic patches, and infusions, and we've done everything we can to try to treat the patient with hard dose narcotics and different modalities to treat their pain. Like I said, some pains are still very difficult to treat. And all you're doing by giving this medicine is continuing this life of suffering. Rav Moshe says, "Ein lahem litain refuot ke'elu." Don't give it. Don't give it. Sharei b'chia gavna chazina moved the Rebbe. That's what we saw in Rebbe. Rebbe was in pain, and don't continue. Don't continue. Try to stop that. Upashut shekain sovei, and that's why the Ramah holds. Shemater v'gam mitzarech chahasid dvar malakim tzias nefesh. You have to remove those things that are causing the preventing the tzias nefesh. The pashut shuhu mitzare yisurim sheisho l'gosis b'zeh, because the gosis is having pain. That's why one is allowed to remove these things. And like you said before, the b'leika yisurin ha'leika shum tam she'er tu afleselek dvarim ha'ma'akvin l'shias ha'nefesh ela adarabah ha'yalanu l'chayiv gam la'achnis. According to that, if it wasn't for the yisurim, Rav Moshe is saying, bring in the band. Bring in everything we can. Make as much noise as you can. If the patient's not suffering, then try to do everything you can to, like, to save, you know, to prolong the life, because it's not suffering. But since we know that it's painful for ghosts, for the neshama to leave, and then, or in the case that he was dealing with, person with terminal illness, and we tried everything and he's in pain, don't take the medicine just to prolong the less suffering of you know, give the medicine for your loved one who's suffering, or yourself. However, and he's going to say also, that's why I put them together, because they're very similar, although people who've studied this more than me, there was a caveat with all this. You know, I spent a year doing Yerodea, and it's still, if you ask me a question about a meat spoon going into a milchik, and, you know, I would still, you know, I'm not answering these questions on a common basis, and I still would have to think very hard, and sometimes would hesitate. So halachas kama v'kama v'kama. You know, this presentation, anybody here, this is, you know, we're dealing, like I mentioned, with, you know, things that to border on Issa Ritzicha and Pikuach Nefesh, and these are, you know, way, way, way above my pay grade, but this is things that, again, discussions you with your, with the physician and the posek of your choice that has this expertise and can paskin these Shilot, but these are some of the sources that the Rav will be familiar with and would look at. So, in which category does he fall into? So, im lahachil derech havrir. So, Rav Moshe is talking about what about nutrition? You know, through the or intravenous through the vein, right? They give him fluid and nutrition through the vein. So, cholam usukan she'ir shel apartu lahachil yisurav v'im lahachil kach kain afkar kochach. And do you do that to the patient? Give him food and nutrition, fluid and nutrition, even against his will. Person's having difficulty breathing. So Rav Moshe, along with Rav Shlomo Zalman, says, give him oxygen. But he says a slightly different reason. He says, why? Because oxygen is treating. Oxygen is going to help the patient in his suffering. That's a good thing. So it's going to lighten up his yisurim, so give the oxygen. Next source. And what about nutrition? So he thought also, im b'cholim she'enem yucholim lechol, im tzichin liten lo ochol derech avridin. So he thought, pashut she'tzorech l'achilo, you have to try, because again, he was of the opinion, again, that nutrition strengthens the chole, and they will help his yisurim. Now again, this is and don't ask v'lo dami klal in yoni sami refuah. But didn't I say earlier that you don't have to give medicines that's just going to extend the suffering? So why are you giving fluid and nutrition to that same patient? Aren't you extending the suffering? No, batam pashut she'achil hu davar tiv'i. He calls it a natural thing. And again, aval bar korchach. Even this food nutrition, if the patient is awake and doesn't want it, don't force it on la sokan. You can't force it on the patient. Again, what should you do? Offer him some applesauce, some chicken soup, some fluids, whatever you can offer at that time. So I just want to add a little even though this is more halachic, but just add a little medical caveat. There are, and that's why you need the doctor's input, there are medical situations where it can actually be harmful to give the patient fluids. And these are common towards the end of life. Liver failure, heart failure, kidney failure. These are all fluid overloaded states, and giving the patient fluid is not helping the patient at that time. It's actually hurting the patient. So, of course, that would not be done in that situation. People explain Rav Moshe as saying, reasoning, so look, I have a patient, again, who has a terminal illness. He's not a gosis yet. She's not a gosis yet. Person's not. But is suffering. And so he says you don't have to initiate new treatment. Why not? Isn't there a lav lo saman adav reyecha? Isn't there a mitzvah saseh nishmat amar li nafshi oseichem? Right? Or mitzvah saseh vashiva lo. It's almost like from, just like after you return his lost object, I have to read mitzvah saseh to return his health to him. So how do I not initiate this treatment? So explain, according to Rav Moshe, that every mitzvah, has a cost in money and time and effort. And he wants to say, so how much does the person have to extend to fulfill this mitzvah saseh, or to fulfill of nishmartim, or fulfill of ashiva lo, or to fulfill the mitzvah lo saseh of lo saman adam reyacha? So we say from source 18, we know that a person has to spend up to 20% of his income to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. So that's what a person has to expend. But for a mitzvah lo saseh, he has to give all his money, right, not to to avoid being over a lo saseh. But they explain to Rav Moshe that's all a person has to give, right? All his money. He doesn't have to give more than all his money. And there are certain situations a person would be willing to give more than all his money, not to be suffering the pain, not to extend the suffering that the patient is in. So if the patient is in that situation where he would give all his money, not to just don't extend my suffering, that alleviates one of this lav of lo saman adam reyecha, and therefore
therefore one your money not to do the mitzvah, just to try to do the mitzvah. You have no right enough. I can spend 20% to go find the lost object. Can I spend 20% of my money to try to find the lost object without knowing if I can get to it? In other words, you can go out and take it from the yam, but if I don't know where it is in the yam, do I have to spend a fortune to go deep sea diving to look for it?
No, so that's why they said
you don't know as to what you're doing.
Right. So that's why they said in returning someone's health to them, they said, really, why do I need the lav of lo saman adam reyecha? I should know it just from Hashavas Aveda, right? But then they said, the Gemara explains, that if you only knew from Hashavas Aveda, you wouldn't know that you would actually even have to do more and expend money to do this mitzvah. And that's what the Lo Saman Adam Reyecha comes to teach you, that you even have to do expenditures to help this, not violate the law of Lo Saman Adam Reyecha. Okay, let's do the last two. The last one is Rav Shechter. And Rav Shechter is the one is quoted as giving is letting the person's autonomy. I apologize for running late. It was a big topic. Of taking into account a patient's autonomy and giving a lot of leeway weight to a person's wishes. So even though we said earlier on, l'fisha ein nafsho shel adam kinyano, a person is not a baal bayis over his nefesh, but there are areas in halacha where a person is halacha views that a person is a baal bayit. One of them is, and he wants to say these are sort of like connected, is to decide, am I in a state of suffix pikuach nefesh or not? He gave the example, he said, he wanted to say that there were, he gave two examples of this. He says, I always knew that in the time of the Midbar, so we didn't have the Bnei Yisrael wasn't Moel, didn't do Mila on the kids because of a problem of Pikuach Nefesh. You're saying the environment, tough environment, it might have been dangerous. So Rov, I thought, didn't do Mila. Turns out that he quoted a source that Shevet Levi, maybe people knew this, is a source that says Shevet Levi did do Mila. So wait a second. So is it Pikuach Nefesh? It's not Pikuach. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing right there. Why don't you ask? Why didn't either all the rest of the Shabbat ask it? So is and why didn't, if it is Pikuach Nefesh, then don't Shevet Levi, stop what you're doing. If it isn't, then so he wanted to say from that it's up to the people, person, to say, is it Pikuach Nefesh or not? Again, there's a limit. There is a limit of Batal Daito Eitzel Kol Adam. If any quotes, if it's one in a thousand, a person, then that's, we don't take that into consideration. However, if it's something that in the realm of normal, that normal people, and he kept on saying like 5%, and then that is more normal, then we take that into consideration. So it was a very, very far possibility that the kids would get sick, right? And Shevet Levi had a lot of bitachon, says this is not, because if it was a significant risk, then Shevet Levi wouldn't have had to be, do it. But somehow it was in the realm. It was in such a realm that Shevet Levi said, "I'm not concerned at all. I don't consider this pikuach nefesh." But the other shvatim did consider it pikuach nefesh, and it was in that realm where it wasn't baital, dato eitzel kol adam, and therefore each one could decide for themselves. I'll give another example of Rav Shach to send in the shir. Just wait 1 second. Yes, 1 second. Okay. Oh, and Shevet Levi. Excellent.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay.
Okay, so he gave another example. He said, what about, I have a mother, I have two mothers, and one is dealing with their first baby. She's a young mother dealing with their first baby, and the other one is dealing with her seventh child. And it's a Friday night, and both babies get up at 2:30 in the morning and start crying. Okay, and they feed the baby, they change the baby, they birth the baby, and baby's continuing to cry. So according to the new mother, is getting very anxious. I did everything I can. This baby's crying. Maybe this baby is sick, is ill, even though it doesn't have a fever, and not that I can tell, but I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. This baby's there crying. So she goes to Terem, on that Friday night. The other mother who had more, had more.
Calls an ambulance.
Yeah, calls an ambulance. Okay. So the other mother, right, has said that experience, has seen this before, has seen colic before, knows, patients, I'm not worried about fever, and hugs the baby, gives it, puts the baby back in the crib, and eventually the baby, calms itself down, and Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. So who did the right thing? Who did the wrong thing? So they both did the right thing, because it's up to the mother. It's up
to the child first.
It's right, but it's up to, again, but it was up, since it's in the realm of normal, Rav Schechter said, a person is allowed to decide, am I in the state of, pikuach nefesh, or not. Other examples, I want to say that a person could choose what profession they want to go to, even though that profession has a certain risk to it, as long as it's within the realm of reason, right? And therefore, again, we don't, right? So, and there's no violation of the Nishmatim Ma'am and Nafsho Seichem. So, from these examples, he wants to say, so too, if it's in the realm of normal, if he quotes Rav Akiva Emden, he says that, you have a healthy 20-year-old and had a traumatic injury to a little part of his foot, and you can cut a little bit, of the foot off, and he can live for 120 years. And this person says, I don't want okay, but Adam, Daitel to Kol Adam, and you take off his pinky, and he lives 120 years, and that's not a normal thing. However, other things where if I somehow took a medical issue, it wasn't one in a thousand, right? It's it's 50 in a thousand, as you're saying. It's already 50 people would say, you know what, I don't want this. 95 would say, give me this treatment, even though, because maybe it will let me, but 50 people would say, all it's going to do, it's going to make me more nauseous, it's going to make me, whatever it's going to make me, I don't want it, and it's already sort of in the realm of normal. Rav Moshe says, you're allowed to say that, Rav Schechter, and then you can decide for yourself, that the Lo Sama doesn't apply, and Neshat Ma'od Nafshu Chaykum doesn't apply. Let's see it inside. You're not dealing with one in a thousand. You're dealing somewhere in the middle. Because the name of Batla Daitel Eitzel Dad Kol Bnei Adam. Because if you were dealing with a very extreme case, we don't take into your your autonomy doesn't come into account, and it's just batal etzel kol adam. We're talking about a suffix sakana on Shabbos. Shadava tolei b'dasa adam mutal b'sakana. Shim choshes limut hazeh az mikri suffix sakana. It's up to the person to decide for themselves, along within the realm of normal, if he's in a state of sakana. If he feels like he's in a state of suffix sakana, then he can be mechal Shabbos. If a person doesn't feel like he's in a suffix sakana, person is not being mechal Shabbos. V'hum ba'atzma eino choshes az amin and shomer sa'im Hashem nimsa d'shtei halachas elu matay mikri suffix sakana matay chola chovas mishmartem al hacholo v'chovas hatzola al hacherim nikvot hein api dat adam ba'atzmo. He gives autonomy he weighs that heavily. Asher chayav shelo hein tluyim b'sakana. Last shita, and a little hesitant to bring this because I just heard today, again, this I didn't, it's Rav Zalman Chemya Goldberg. I did not, although I looked at the tshuva of Rav Moshe inside and Rav Shlomo Zalman inside, the whole tshuva, and I just took out a piece. This, I didn't see the tshuva, the whole tshuva, and this is just, I typed up from a source sheet that I saw from someone else's source sheet. So, and I was told today that I think he's retracted part of it. But let me just say that what he once wrote. And he says that the reason why that you don't have to treat certain times when, and you're not being over of lo samad al dam reyecha, because he says lachin near or hashava, the mitzvah say of hashava, lachin near is shedin hatzala lo nema ela b'makom shenena hanitzul ba'arichas yamav v'tov lo she'arichu yamav b'zeh. So yesh din hatzala. If you're doing a benefit for the person, right, and then therefore you have the din of hashavas aveda and lo samad adam reyecha. V'gam mechal on hashavas hazeh. Aval b'makom, and he uses this phrase shetov mosa mechayav, that death is preferable to life. Machmas yisurim osha ein lo, and this is why I was very hesitant to say this. She ein lo shum toelet b'chayim. She ein lo dat klal b'zeh ein din hatzala. So, you know, I was up till now, everything that we've said, we've limited it to the, almost like it's a terminal illness that is taking the patient's, in the patient's life. But of course, if a patient is in advanced stages of, dementia, and, just like a baby who has, very little das, we still have to feed the baby and we have to nourish the baby, so to that, that chayim, there's no illness going on. I mean, patient has dementia, but patient's not dying, of dementia. It's not the terminal. So, everyone else would say, absolutely, you have to do, and you have to treat, that patient. There's a hint here, and he might have retracted, but there's, I don't know how, is he extending it, but he said something like, if you have a person, she'im tu'ah b'chayim, and he doesn't have a dot cloud, maybe there's no, you can maybe don't have to treat, so aggressively.
I'm saying it's just dementia. The person is dying and has dementia.
Possibly. I didn't see it inside, so I can't, I can't see it. Cool. So if we wanted to just sum up the six...
Or dementia. But he knows...
Right. So that's what I was saying.
The dying state.
I was saying, maybe not. So let's just, review the six shitot. So we saw that the Tzitz Eliezer seemed to have the most machmir shita and said everything has to be done aggressively to the very last moment. His rayas were from Shabbos. You have to be mechal Shabbos even to the very last, moment, even for Yisurim. We saw Rabbi Bleich said there is a point in time, once Kesisa started, that you then have the option in a passive way not to initiate treatment. Of course, no one says that you can actively do anything to shorten life.
Not to initiate or not to continue?
No, I would again continue. If he's not going to say, what does that mean? If the infusion is going, don't stop. I don't think he's telling you to stop. But don't put the next one up. Right, I think he's saying the next two, the middle shitos we saw, were Shlomo Zalman, who said that even at an earlier stage, if a person is suffering from Yisurim, so it's good to tell a person that there is some benefit to Yisurim. But that's the male. What do you call it? Of a Yerushamayim, I think was the phrase he used, and therefore, but the person has a choice not to to refuse that treatment. or the family has, you know, and he says what, you know, and he takes into account the patient's wishes, you know, at that time. Rav Moshe said it seemed to be strong. It seems it would be almost like usher to treat a family member that way. And again, his right was it's a painful, just like, you know, gesises, it's painful. So all these painful things, just to extend it, not treating the illness, don't do. We said an idea from that maybe was because there's sometimes more than 20% or 100, you know, or all your money, sometimes, you know, a person would give up not to extend the suffering. And so those were those two. We saw Rav Shechta gives a lot of points out in Halacha that where there are times where a person is has autonomy and could decide when these categories of Pikuach Nefesh apply or Suffix Sakana apply. So and he gives that autonomy to the patient currently. And then we saw even Zalman Chaimya Goldberg says there's a case of Tov Mosa Mechayev, and then even possibly a case where he doesn't have any dat or toilet b'chayim, that a person that the mitzvah, the chiyav of Hatzolah does not apply. Let's just end with the Shlomo Zalman, how he ended one of his tshuvot. V'Hashem HaTov Yishmerenu Mekol Ra, V'Kiyam Banu V'Asirosim Kol Machla Mikirbecha Yizkenu La'avdo V'Simcho V'Tuv Lev Kol HaYamim.
Amen.